All right, we're going to get started with the last session for this afternoon. Welcome to the session. My name is Donna McNeil, and I'm from the Vancouver Island Health Authority, and I'll be moderating this session. So what we will be doing is having reports back from the four breakout sessions that happened this afternoon and hearing about the pearls that we learned at each of the sessions. And then once that's been completed, Monica will close the conference for the day. So our first person to report back is Marilyn MacGyver, and she's reporting on improving vaccine cold chain and inventory management.
My favorite topic. Hello, everybody. What did I do? I just counted, and I think I found there are 88 people in this room. That's just fabulous. So nice to have you all still here. So this breakout session was about cold chain and inventory management. So Cheryl McIntyre and Karen McColgan both presented, and we had lively discussion with about 20 or 25 people. We are wasting vaccine in the province, as you know, and we're trying to decrease that. And some of it is due to a fatal cold chain incident, and some of it is because vaccine expired before it got used. So that's why we wanted to talk about cold chain and inventory management. And I think we're starting to fix the cold chain problems. I think we're doing a better job of getting the vaccine out to the field. I think the field's doing a better job of maintaining it in their offices. But we can also gain or decrease losses of vaccine by not ordering more vaccine than we can use. And it's going to be tricky this year because I'm afraid we might be ordering some flu vaccine that we really don't know how much we're going to use, if we're going to have enough. Or. But Cheryl's first part of her presentation was she had this picture of a fridge and a slide about if you had 100 babies, if your cohort was 100 babies, and you had enough vaccine in your fridge for up to 18, to immunize them up to 18 months, you know, so what is that, 2 MMRs, 3 Prevnars, you know, Infanrix, Hexa, what do you think that would be worth? And I would actually welcome some guesses from the folks in this room who weren't at the session. A fridge with enough vaccine to immunize 100 babies for their first 5 doses, 5 appointments. Do I hear some guesses for the value? I hear 50,000 over here. What did I hear over there? Sorry? 20,000. And what did I hear here? Oh, you chickened out. It's $43,000, $42,000. So we all know that, right? And we all know that the Prevnar and the Gardasil are super expensive. So one of the things that Cheryl walked folks through was the concept of establishing a base order in every office. And this these PowerPoints, of course, will be posted online, you know, with all the rest of them from the conference. But these are PowerPoints that you might want to pay particular attention to sharing with the staff because they'd be good training PowerPoints. You could use them to train the staff. So the idea of a base order in every single office where considerations are made around the cohort, how many kids live in that town, the number of doses with MMR, they would, you know, there's going to be 2, and seasonal programs, you know, what do you need in the fall, what do you need in the spring. And the new guidelines that have just gone out in the last couple of weeks, Section 6 of the immunization manual is about biological guidelines. And one of the things that the new guidelines clarify is having a biological products consultant who typically looks like a public health nurse and is overall responsible for the vaccines, and then a biological products monitor who has a bit of a job description in the guidelines as well and typically is a health unit aide and who makes sure that the vaccines get ordered properly, get monitored twice a day by hand, the temperature, and this base order will be used as a tool by the biological products monitor to do the ordering, but it's established by the consultant and should be reviewed regularly by the consultant. Like every 3 months is a very good guideline for that. The other good guideline is to review the fridge on the last business day of every month and return expired vaccines, and also make a plan. Cheryl talks about having a personal relationship with your refrigerator, not only the compressor and how the door works, but the inventory, what's in it. Make a plan for other vaccines that are in the fridge that are close to expiry. You know, if they're going to expire in a couple of months, you can do the math and figure out whether or not they're going to be used up. In the last week, 3 people have called Cheryl who have given expired vaccine. To me, this is shocking. And some of them, it had one, the first call had been expired by a few hours, the second had been expired by a few days, and the third had been expired for a few months. And so obviously we're not doing a good enough review of at the last business day of every month to be sure that the expired vaccines are returned to CDC. The other big news in the new guidelines is that we want you, this is old news, to store the vaccines between 2 and 8, striving for 5, right? 5 degrees is what you want your fridge running at. But 0 to 2 degrees is no longer considered a cold chain break. Now, this isn't really rocket science, you know, that the vaccines aren't going to freeze above 0 degrees. You know, water doesn't freeze above 0 degrees. But it is a broadening of our guidelines, and it's fantastic news. And it's as a result of a lot of work that Monica has led and Brent has done a ton of work on with the manufacturers. We've spent some time on that. So you have to look at the accuracy of your thermometer. If your thermometer is only accurate to plus or minus one whole degree, if the fridge goes to plus 0.9 degrees Celsius, and your thermometer is only accurate to a whole degree, it could be below zero. So we have to always err on the side of caution. If we think that the vaccines might have frozen, then, you know, and that's really the only thing that really hurts vaccines is to freeze. The heating doesn't hurt them so much, right? So if you find your fridge between zero and two, you have to look at what your thermometer is measuring at, how accurate it is, and then you can make determinations. Your biological products consultant can make determinations. And you would adjust your fridge to bring it back into temperature. So you also have to know your thermometer, how accurate it is. That's why some of the devices that are accurate to 0.2 degrees will actually save vaccine. Most breaks, we've analyzed all the cold chain incidents. Most breaks are less than 72 hours. Gardasil is a particularly stable vaccine I wanted to highlight for you. And product monograph information about Gardasil is that it's stable up to 25 degrees for up to 72 hours total time out of refrigerator. So if it has cold chain incidents going in and out of temperature, you can add them all up. And if it's less than 72 hours, I mean, this shouldn't happen that you have to add them all up, but if it did, then it's still usable. Did I tell you that we have about $2 million worth of returns every year? And you know, that's the point of a lot of this work. The other point that came up just at the end of Cheryl's presentation from the folks in the room is that the doctors are still needing more. They need to understand the guidelines better. They need to be held a little bit more accountable for what's happening with the vaccines. So, you know, we've been focusing on getting the vaccines stable before they get to the doctors. You know, but as Andrea's project, the Partners in Prevention project, gives us more information about how doctors want to learn, then that'll be sort of phase four, or whatever phase we'll be in by then. Karen gave us some numbers about First Nations people in British Columbia that I wanted to highlight for you because, you know me, I love numbers. So you know how there's about 4 million people who live in British Columbia, and about 4% of them are First Nations people. That works out to about 170,000 First Nations people in British Columbia. About 60,000 of those people actually live in First Nations communities. Like, I thought it was 50-50, but it's not. About 60,000 out of the 170,000 are living in First Nations communities. The rest aren't. Their cold chain issues in First Nations communities are more complicated because the communities are often remote, they have more hydro power failures, and they often have part-time staff because they're small communities and there might only be a staff person in there one day a week or even less. Also, the offices aren't necessarily designed to accommodate dedicated biological fridges. So the issue, you know, some plans have been made around storing vaccines at the local health unit. And then there has to be a trade-off because then there's more travel time for the First Nations nurse to go to the provincial health unit to get her vaccines. And also, they might miss an opportunity to immunize. So we're working on all of that. Then we got into an equipment discussion. And the field is the health units are all asking for equipment. A coordinated approach to the purchase of cold chain monitoring equipment. And thank heavens Katie's working on this project because there's a lot of interest in it. And it seems like just the kind of concept I got out of listening to this last discussion is that the Taylor thermometers are very popular They're worth about $30 each. They're battery operated. They're min-max thermometers. So if they went out of range, then it seems the best thing to do would be to check the data logger in your computer. The Dixon weekly paper logs are out of vogue. They're too expensive. You need to remember to change them. They're hard to service, like the needle can get bent, and the graph line can end up being too wide.